Appreciate Kurt willing to share. Kurt has a heart for missions and has kept up with his family. And please, if you want to know more, please get with Kurt, and I know he would love to talk to you about that. It's difficult to think about global missions. It's such a huge thing, isn't it? And I want to try in just a few minutes here, kind of wrap this up. But I think as we think of global missions, we put some flags up today just to call your attention that we don't just live here. We live here, right? And you might say, how can I think about this when it's all that I can do to keep up my home and my job and make ends meet? And, you know, that takes everything I got. How can I do more? How can I be a part of what God is doing globally? I can't even hardly be a part of what God is doing right here. And I understand, and I have some of those same feelings. But at the same time, I believe the Word of God calls us to do both. And we are empowered. We can be empowered to do both. To be a person that has great influence for the cause of Christ here and here. And we'll talk just briefly about that. I do want you to think, as you think about global missions, understand that we are truly in a spiritual battle, and it's raging, and it's regarding, the battle is over billions of souls, of men and women. And the scope of the spiritual battle is, it's universal, and it covers and compromises every tongue, tribe, nation, right? Person, people group. There's no place on earth where this battle is not raging. And that is understanding that is part of being involved in God's global mission. One of the things that I have thought about recently is that when you look in the Old Testament, and when you just look at people in life in general as well, we see in the Old Testament, God's people at times would experience great repentance and great revival, and they'd say, Lord, whatever you say, we will do. We will, whatever you call us to go, we will go. But it wasn't long, right, before they became fickle and turned back to their old ways. And though that frustrates me to read it, it frustrates me even more when I see it in my own life. And maybe you're like that as well. Because there are times when I get so excited about God and what He's doing and that He's called us to be a part of that. And I can have such zeal, but far too often isn't long before I'm back wrapped up in what I want, what I desire. I get sucked right back into me, 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 and I've lost sight of what God is doing, certainly right in front of me, and even more so globally. And so I understand that, I really do, but yet I think God still has this radical, glorious calling on us, both here and here, and we've got to understand that. But at the end of the day, at the end of my life, I don't want to waste my life on me. And that's what most people do. They waste their lives on themselves. They are so wrapped up in themselves. Even believers professing to follow Messiah, they can be so wrapped up in themselves. And I don't want that to be me. I want the heart of God, the love of God, to beat within my chest for people here and people across the street as well. Listen to Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. It is clear time and time again throughout the Bible that it is God's desire that every tribe, tongue, nation would accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that they would be redeemed truly by the blood of the Lamb, His Son, our Lord Jesus, and become a people of praise for our Most High God. That is his desire. And I want to make this statement, and we'll read a verse. The statement is, it is God's purpose to be exalted among the nations. Everything created in the world should be seen in the context of existing for God's glory. And intellectually, amen. You know, but how often do I see that everything, everyone exists, was created for the glory of God? How do I focus, believe, and see that and live that out and so forth when there are so many distractions? It's difficult. Philippians 2:10 says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those in earth, those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. As we think about global missions and we think about the world and what is God doing, struggling to understand that, you know, God is busy and He is working through a lot of people. And though that is true, I do want to take just a moment here, a couple minutes, to celebrate and offer thanks for what God is doing through the Church of God Seventh Day. The man that spoke on that little video clip to us in Spanish, it was Ramon Reyes, and he oversees the international work of the Church of God Seventh Day, and they've divided the world into seven zones. America and Canada are in one of those zones. And the IMC, the International Ministerial Council, was established in 1978. And in 1978, there were like 11 countries that we had members. But today, we have about 45 nations that have members, and we have over 100 countries that we have contacts with and that we're working in, and the work is growing. The gospel of Jesus is going out, and I want to celebrate that. I know it's going on through other people as well, but I want to celebrate what He's doing through the Church of God. And I want to give you just a couple of snippets to think about that I read recently. This past July in Guatemala, they had at the convention center. I forget which town, in the convention center, the Church of God has purchased that, and they had they called evangelists from the from Guatemala, from the Church of God Seventh Day churches, to come and gather there. They had over 600 evangelists. These were men and women. They're very committed to sharing the gospel, and they met and they represent a lot more people across Guatemala from the 17 districts of that country. But the people in Guatemala are so evangelistic. They are so dedicated to sharing the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I read stories from Guatemala, and I'm always so inspired. And the other one I wanted to mention is that this year is the 80th year of the work in the Church of God Seventh Day in Nigeria. Most of the work is in the southern or southeast part of Nigeria, and they now have a membership of, you know, over 10,000, and they're growing and so forth. But both these countries, the reason I wanted to mention them is both those countries, the work really was started and it grew quickly because of two different men in these two different countries. But it was just a man that said yes to God, that surrendered to God and was passionate about the gospel, loving people, loving God's truth. And so I just want to say, when we see some of these works and what God has done, it's through men and women that will just say yes to Him and not allow themselves to be consumed with themselves, not allow themselves to be so distracted. How can we help with global missions? Well, you know, certainly prayers, and we'll list some just real practical ways, but I do want to let you know, in some of the recent mission magazines that are out there in the foyer, Kenya is getting ready to, in January, to open a new medical clinic. They still need about $30,000, so if you have that laying around, they'll take it. Pakistan, we mentioned they have this, I think it's just this last year, they've rescued 31 widows from indentured servanthood, slavery really. And what they do is they go and they purchase what this lady, this widow owes, which she probably would never get out of. They purchase that, they pay her off, her debt off, and then they take her and they train her in sewing and buy her a sewing machine, and she's able to start her own business and stay free and be blessed. So that's a wonderful thing. Truth Academy in Pakistan has been a great new school there. They're needing to buy a couple vans for the school and for evangelistic work, and they need about $7,000 for that. So I know some of you, I mean, maybe it was David, he said he was going to write a check out for that today. Myanmar, they're like 90% done with building this orphanage slash seminary slash church headquarters. They need about $25,000 to finish that. In the Congo, in 2004, the work started in the Congo. Now there are about 20 congregations. They have two schools that we've started in the Congo, but these two schools, they don't have roofs. They don't have chairs. They have very little curriculum. You know, we are so affluent compared to the rest of the world. We have so much. And what is so little to us can mean so much to them. So I just challenge you. Maybe God has blessed you to bless them. The little that you could give and support could do, you know, wondrous things. And so that's just a couple things I wanted to mention. Some say there are eight kind of followers of Christ in churches in regards to missions, okay? There are the goers, and there are a few of those, and not everyone's called to do that. Those that say, you know what? I'm going to go to Istanbul. We're going to pack up our family and go. I'm going to go to Iraq, Iran. I'm going to go to Cambodia. There are not many of us that receive that kind of call or have that kind of commitment. But some are goers. Some are senders. Kurt is definitely a sender, and you can be a sender too. You can help people, encourage them, different ways that you can send them. There are prayers, you know, being in prayer specifically for missions. There are payers that can support financially. There's mobilizers that are working behind the scenes in the States and helping all kinds of things to happen internationally. There are learners that study countries and study missions and impart this knowledge to some of the other ones that are working and called in different areas. There are welcomers. We have an incredible amount of people that come into this country from other nations. What an opportunity. And we've talked about this before. In Spokane, we have a huge amount of refugees and people that come here to go to school. And they're away from their families. They are looking for friendships and so forth. And there are ways that you could do that. So welcomers. But ultimately, and then that's seven. What's number eight? Some would say that would be the disobedient followers of Jesus, because some would say, if we sum this up, we're either goers, right, or we're senders, or we're disobedient. and though I don't like that, it kind of ruffles my feathers, I think that it's true. I'm called to go across the street, but I'm also called as a follower of Christ to go around the world. And I may not literally physically go, but there are ways that God can help me go. Maybe my prayers, maybe my finances, maybe my support, encouragement, or whatever. But we can go across the street. We're called to do that, and we're called to go around the world. Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the age. What holds us back from being a part of God's work globally? And some people use the C words. Maybe it's that we're a coward. I have been a coward at times. Maybe it's that we're just consumers, right? We're just so busy consuming that we don't have time. Or maybe it's that we're just too comfortable. Life is good. You know, life is good. I'm enjoying this. And I don't got time for other things. I'm too comfortable in this little niche I've created for myself. Let me read this statement to you. Jesus didn't die just for us, but to give us a message of salvation for all nations. God's people are called to declare His glory. God does not bless us so we can enjoy this prosperous, affluent lifestyle, but to make His way known, His gospel known throughout the earth. the global missions, not only across the street, but around the world. And there are many passages that we could think about. When we think about global missions, the other thing I want you to think about, I want to read this statement to you. It's about our enemy, about Satan. It says, Satan's purpose is to oppose the kingdom and to deprive God of the praise and the glory that is due him. And any inappropriate fear that we have of the devil really can be traced back to our lack of faith or confidence in God's ability, not ours. And so many passages that we could read that call us to live in victory and power in regards to missions and evangelism. Another statement that I want to read to you is this. It's even where the gospel can be freely shared, the enemy is distorting the message to keep it from being received. Satan is seeking to claim upon the earth what he could not gain in heaven, but redemption was planned and victory was assured before the foundation of the world. That is the truth. And that is upon which we build our ability to cross the street and to go around the world. Satan, of course, wants to persecute believers in the church. He wants to convince Christians that missionaries, being part of missions, is somehow kind of an optional thing. Yeah, you can if you want, but maybe you're not called. He erodes the authority of God's word. He distorts the call that he has for every Christian. He often encourages us in different ways to compromise our faith in regards to God, and he's striving to destroy the spiritual vitality of the church. There are people that study revival and movements, and it's really interesting if you ever have read, there are those that have taken all the revivals in the Old Testament and just looked at all the key components that led up to that, and then how that was lived out in the people and for how long and so forth. But there's also people that have studied those that get caught up in the global mission of God. What are the facets of that kind of a revival within individuals and within a church that really embraces God's call, not only to cross the street, but to go around the world? And here's the nine things that they see in these great missional movements, revival movements, is there's a power from on high that is received from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is able to work freely among them. There's a passion for Christ. There's prevailing prayer. There's a rich soaking in of the Scriptures and sound doctrine. There's unwavering faith that trusts God to be faithful in all things. The people are committed to holiness and purity of life, and together they are a people that are humble and seek repentance, and there is an abhorrence of sin. They're willing to see other people and have compassion and love towards others. There is kind of a supportive, sacrificial, and generous sending community. It's not just about them. It's not building a bigger, nicer building. It's about how we can avail ourselves and the blessings that God has given us for the work of the gospel, both here and globally. And finally, a willingness to embrace persecution and opposition, because indeed that is what generally happens. And so today, as we close, I want you to think about this idea, and I think I skipped over this screen, but I want to touch on it again because we did it so quickly. Just thinking about yourself, are you called to be a goer, a sender, a prayer, a payer, a mobilizer, a learner, a welcomer? Are you a goer or a sender, or are you disobedient? Now you're getting personal. I don't like that. Well, we're one of those. God's calling us. And so I want to end this with a couple questions, and we'll pray. Will you embrace God's radical calling for his mission mandate around the world? I know it's huge. It's hard to think about. But there are ways that God can use you both here and around the world. Will your life be all about you, or will it be about his purposes and glory both here and around the world? Will you be inward, isolated, overwhelmed even with this idea of global missions? It's too much. Will you be compromised, apathetic, selfish? Are you a coward, a consumer? Or maybe you're just way too comfortable, right? I would love it if I could come up to you, any of you, at any time, and you to me, and say, hey, how are you going across the street right now? Who are you working with? Who are you building relationships? How are you sharing the gospel across the street, right? In your neighborhood, at your workplace, across the street? And how are you going around the world? How is God using you to go around the world? If I came to you right now, would you be able to answer those questions? I hope we all can allow God to give us a call, that we would receive that call and walk in that call and be able to answer those questions. And so we're going to close in prayer today, and I hope I've challenged you a little bit as we've shared, and I hope that you will hear God's call and whatever facet he's calling you to. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your goodness and grace upon us. What a delight it was to present and dedicate these three little sweet boys to you. Father, we don't know what their future holds, but we know you love them and that you can use them for your honor and glory. And Father, if it's here in Spokane or if it's in Istanbul, Lord, we just want them to follow you and be men after your own heart. Lord, we're praying for the people around the world, the persecuted church. Father, I pray that you would hear our prayers, especially for India. Lord, there's a great movement in India against Christians that is mounting and growing. And Father, we just want to cry out for these people. Protect them. Give them courage. And Lord, I just pray that you would light a fire in their heart. Lord, help them, protect them, walk with them. And Lord, I pray finally for us here that we would be dedicated to evangelism and to missions. Lord, that we would not only go across the street, but around the world and affecting other cultures, people that are different from us, but that people in other tribes, tongues, and nations that you love so dearly. Lord, I know you want us all to be a people of praise for you, to bring you honor and glory. Lord, we want to serve your purposes for your glory today. And so we give ourselves to you. And Lord, give us a calling. Give us a vision. Help us to be obedient to that. Help us to walk in your Spirit. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath.